Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 5 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joint podcast. This one is just a special one for me. I really enjoyed speaking with Will and Nicole Buckman from Corkscrew Barbecue in Spring, Texas. You're just going to fall in love with them. They're great, great people. You could tell that they really care about each other. They really care about barbecue. They care about the people they're feeding, and it shows. And they were actually listed as in the top 10 of the Texas Monthly Top 50, which is a huge, huge feat to attain, and it's well-deserved. I haven't been to their location, but from everything I've heard and from everyone that's visited, it is one of the best, if not the best, barbecue in all of Texas. So sit back and enjoy this. I know you're going to love their story, their history, their passion, and I know after you listen to this, you're going to want to visit them. Please subscribe. I'll be adding one or two of these each week. Also, this can be checked out at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I have a YouTube version of this, so you get a chance to see them interact, which is really cool. You can follow me at Kevin's Barbecue Joints on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the whole lot. Thanks so much. Enjoy.
All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing this morning? Otherwise, other than the internet connection?
We're great.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Yourself?
I'm doing really well. Yeah, definitely. It was a quick, long weekend. It seemed like a long weekend, but it went by pretty fast.
They always do, it seems.
So tell me, so I number one, congratulations on the top 10 for Texas Monthly. How did that feel when you guys found out? Was it a morning? Was it an evening? And what was it like?
Yeah, I think it was JC called us at like 7:30 in the morning to give us the news. And it was difficult to process at the moment because we were still sleeping, I'll admit it. But
it's our day off.
Yeah, it's the day off. But it absolutely feels incredible. I mean, it's been a goal of ours since we started this, and to achieve it was, I can't even put it into words.
Yeah, a lot of people I don't know if outside of Texas or outside of the barbecue community might not realize how important that is.
Yeah. And
what exactly does it mean to you guys?
It just solidifies that the work that we put in and the blood, sweat, and tears that are involved with it are worth it.
Definitely. Oh, what, most definitely. And it shows that a lot of hard work and a lot of passion, you know, can add up to anything for anybody, whatever anybody's doing.
Absolutely.
So can you tell me a little bit, please, about how you guys started, I know that all I know really about Will is the AT&T. So if you guys, I'd like to know about both of your backgrounds.
I did real estate and stuff, not sales, but leasing before we did all this. And then we had kids and I was a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And AT&T was not the company you stayed at for all of your life like it used to be. You know, it wasn't something you started and worked for 35 years and retired from anymore. It was they just didn't care about their employees that much anymore. So we knew we needed to do something else. And he was really good at barbecue. So
were you both working at AT&T?
No, but I was a stay-at-home mom, so it was my job.
Essentially, you know? Yeah. You both were working at AT&T.
You know, we made all the decisions when it came to AT&T together.
Were you guys barbecuing like at home before or for friends? How did that start out?
Yeah, it started out just barbecuing in the driveway. I got a real small smoker from Academy in Oklahoma Joe's. I think it would cook one brisket at a time. And Sundays we just had everybody over to the house, and typically we would cook and just invite them over and make a party out of it. And it just turned into more of a passion for me.
And then how did you guys graduate from the Oklahoma Joe's? Did you guys get a bit larger offset smoker or?
We did. We actually started doing catering gigs off of that little Oklahoma Joe's. And then we learned really quickly that that wasn't going to cut it anymore. So
for sure.
Craigslist, I went and found another offset that was, I don't know, 4 times its size. And that was one of many upgrades in pits that we've made over the years. But
we just kind of went with, we bought what was necessary so that we could put money away as much as possible to be able to open something eventually. So we went at a very slow pace, but was actually much quicker than we really It seemed like it was taking a really long time, but it was really only about a year to a year and a half that we pretty much did everything out of our driveway before we opened the trailer.
That is pretty quick. So that was about 3 years ago then, or 4 years ago?
Plus 7 years.
7 years ago, okay. Because when I was talking to JC, I guess the timeline in my head got a little off. So that was about 7 years ago is when you first started cooking in your...
In 2010 when we started, and we opened the trailer in 2012?
October 2011.
And where was that located?
That was in the Woodlands. Okay. We were off of Booty Road, and that's really what it was called. And and we just opened our very first tiny little trailer. We actually posted on Facebook because it was 6 years ago, like 2 days ago, that we had bought that trailer. And we just kind of went from there.
Was that scary when you first did that?
Oh, it was incredibly
terrifying.
Scary.
With two little kids, and we were going to, you know, quit a good paying job, insurance, and, you know,
for sure,
start this. But, you know, sometimes you just have to make that leap.
And you were getting, people were liking what you were doing. So you, at least you felt confident that.
Yeah. With the catering that we were doing beforehand, we had garnered a really strong following for being a driveway barbecue joint.
Yeah, so we weren't just opening without anybody knowing who we were. We were opening in the city that we catered to for over a year, and we were catering to big companies. I mean, like Anadarko and CB&I and AT&T and ExxonMobil and really big companies, and you know, with lots of employees, so it just worked out for us.
Now, when you first opened up that trailer, were there at the beginning, was it a trickle, or did you get pretty good steady business at the beginning?
It was pretty sparse, you know. Yeah. One like the opening day was incredibly busy, way more than we had anticipated. And you would have your slow days where we had trouble selling anything.
Oh.
And then days where we were only open for an hour and a half. They would just, so it wasn't consistent. But it was always strong when it was there.
But we made sure to have enough money saved up to not have to reheat food and stuff. So we would take anything left over. We typically took it to the fire department that was across the street from us and would give them whatever we would have left, which would typically only be really like ribs or turkey every now and then. So we would take them food at the end of the day, or we ate a lot of barbecue at the beginning because that was groceries. And but I think that was the biggest thing, is even from the beginning, we had a goal of being consistent and not reheating food, and not just because we needed to save the money. It was kind of like, well, this is a long-term goal. And in order to have everybody stay with you and follow you and make things better, you got to have your principles from the very beginning.
Oh, for sure. And it's nice that it sounds like you guys had a plan and that you stuck to that plan.
For sure.
And that's, and the whole thing of reheating food for the next day, that's terrible. It really is. I guess like you could do chopped beef possibly, but I think that would probably be it.
I mean, you can repurpose it, and plenty of places do. Yeah. And there's chili with it. We just
absolutely
wanted to, especially starting out in a trailer, you know, we wanted to ensure that we were being honest with the customers and we were giving them a product that they had become used to, and they could count on us every single time.
And how was that? Your schedule wise, it was obviously a little different than your schedule at AT&T. It's brutal. So yeah, people don't understand how much work goes into doing that. And that must've been tough at the beginning.
It was very tough.
We had a 4 and 5 year old, and, so, of course, they still have to be taken care of.
Yes, daughter, of course.
She had just started first grade, so she had just turned 6 whenever we started, but our son was still 4, and they had completely different schedules, and then him and I had different schedules. So it was good 16, 18, sometimes 20-hour days.
Oh, that's
tough. We still cooked everything at home.
Wow.
So I made everything still here, and yeah, it was.
Well, how many items did you guys have at like those early days?
Pretty much the same thing we have now.
Yeah, the menu's almost identical.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's, even the desserts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I cooked out of a toaster oven.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Everything was made in a toaster oven or on this little tiny It was like, it was a electric smoker that was in the trailer we bought, but we used it as an oven to bake potatoes. So we put our beans in there and we put the potatoes in there to cook for the day. And then our pit sat outside, which had the pit room and everything that we had built. Wow. And yeah, so it's easy to us now. I mean, hard, trust me. But yeah.
Yeah. Coming from where you were, it's a lot easier in that context.
Yes.
So then when did you decide, okay, we need to, or were you always thinking a brick and mortar is always in the future? So
we never really looked too far ahead into the future. We still don't. We're kind of just in the now. Let's make sure that we're taking care of this business the way that it needs to right now. And as the business grew, then we would assess the situation and figure out what the next step for us would be. The first trailer that we bought was a really crudely built kitchen on a utility trailer. Okay. So our next step from there was we actually had a custom built trailer made for us that we could actually hire employees and take some of the workload off of our backs. And that was the next progression. We did that for a couple years. And then at that time, we did know that brick and mortar was imminent. We were going to have to pull the trigger and do something. And the timing was right. We lucked out. We found the perfect building. We were able to strike a deal the day we met the owner. And it was all said and done.
So how big is that location? I apologize. I haven't been there. I plan on coming.
That's okay. It's what is the building? It's 4,000 square feet.
Yeah, the building's about 4,500 square feet and it sits on a half an acre.
Oh, wow.
And so the parking's pretty crude. We're working on that. Trust us.
Okay.
It was way in the plans until Hurricane Harvey, and that set us back a little bit because we had to close for 6 days, which was, you know, two Saturdays and a Friday.
Oh, wow.
So that was pretty brutal, but you know, so we are working on getting that taken care of, but we have a huge yard that's so pretty and all the kids play in it. And it's just like being at a barbecue at your friend's house.
I mean, that's killer.
Footballs out there and, you know, different games and dump trucks for the kids to play with in the dirt and picnic tables and music. And it's just, I think it's just really fun. I think it's just easy. You can sit inside where it's AC'd, or you can go outside and just let your kids run around and enjoy a beer and talking with your family and not feel so rushed.
That sounds ideal. That sounds like a little oasis.
And it's got a train track. And, you know, it's pretty set back on the side. And it's covered in trees and pecan trees, and it's just really nice.
It's definitely got the backyard feel to it. Yeah. You feel like you're at a friend's house when you're at Corkscrew.
And then, so you guys are open Tuesday through Saturday?
That's correct.
From 11 to 6?
Till we sell out. Okay. 6 is just kind of a, I don't know.
We had to put a time on it. You know, exactly, like, ask for a time. Everybody asks for a time. So we just set a time. And I think we've gotten right to it. Maybe sold the last sandwich right at 6 o'clock before. But it's pretty rare.
So if people want to make sure they get everything they want to get, they should get there early. But what's the latest? Like, do you usually sell out with a brisket around 3 o'clock usually? Or?
There's no telling. Sometimes briskets we have, that's our last thing. And sometimes, you know, I mean, it's typically never the first thing because that's what we have the most of. But like I tell everybody, Tuesday through Thursday is like the best day to go. And 12:30, after 12:30 is probably like the golden time. Because from 11 to 12:30 is like insanity. Everybody wants to get it and take it back to work. And there's a lot of food. And sometimes, you know, they're doing meetings and stuff like that. So good sweet spot's like 12:30. And it's pretty rare to be out of something by 12:30.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I'm sure that during that rush hour, it's pretty intense and a lot of pressure for you.
Yeah, it's great though.
No, that's important. You can do pre-orders too. Is that something you guys do?
We do. We do Tuesday through Thursday. We do like a buffet, or you can order meats by the pound. We do all the menus are on our website.
Okay.
And but we don't offer like the buffet or the meat by the pound, anything. We don't offer any kind of sliced meats on Friday and Saturday. We were doing it, but we were just so busy those days. It was just becoming impossible. There's three meat cutters. It's me, myself. I mean, Will, myself, and another guy, Austin. Okay. And I do all the cut orders for the buffets, but they need my help on Friday and Saturdays. So I just couldn't do both. Okay. So cut that out. So we do whole meats all week, Tuesday through Saturday. You can order, you know, a whole brisket or whatever.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. And you, I noticed too, that you guys have a pretty unique menu. You actually have tacos. You have potatoes too.
Yes. We do.
How are those?
All that grew from really the trailer, you know, thinking when we opened the trailer, thinking that we needed to set ourselves apart and have unique items to draw people in. And unfortunately for us, that worked way too well. So they just kind of had to carry over and stay on the menu. But it's great. Yeah, people love the tacos and the specialty sandwiches, and it's just their staples now.
Yeah, it seems like I see a lot of photos, and I see a lot, and some people do expect that probably now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The tacos are great, though. So we get our tortillas from a very small little tortilla, like
taqueria,
little family-owned tiny thing that they make fresh tortillas every morning. And they are one of the only places we could find that had fresh corn tortillas.
Oh, fantastic.
So we pick those up every single morning. Our manager goes over there and gets however many they can give us. And so they're really good and, you know, light and not like store-bought, which we did for a long time.
Well, that's – and there's something about fresh tortillas. You could just eat them by themselves.
Whatever, but. Yeah, they're great.
And then the sausage, do you guys make your own sausage, or do you get sausage from a sausage purveyor?
A purveyor. We've got a local butcher here that makes that sausage for us. It's anybody who's ever done it knows that sausage is just way too tedious, and it's almost a liability. You know, you have to make it in a really controlled environment
for sure
to stay out of risk of making customers sick. You know, we just don't feel like we have the facilities to do it ourselves. Otherwise, we would. We have all the equipment. We have the recipes, but.
And they're going off of probably a recipe you guys have given them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. So then your biggest seller, is your biggest seller brisket?
That is the biggest seller.
And then yeah. And you guys are cooking on with red oak?
Yeah, we use red oak exclusively.
All right. And then do you feel that like your barbecue style has changed from the beginning? Like, do you think you've learned a lot since your early, like obviously from your early days, but from the early days of the trailer, are you cooking differently at all, do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a lot more time now to focus on my craft, rather than, you know, the entire business, which is a good thing. And it has progressed. It has evolutionized, I guess, if you will, mm-hmm. In the early days, I had a bad tendency of rushing the cook along, you know, cooking really hot, really fast, getting it done, getting it off so I could get home and get some sleep. Mm-hmm. And I've got the time now to where I was able to, you know, back off, slow it down. We're going for consistency here. And it's really come a long way.
And with the time, I'm sure putting in the hours is what got you there.
That's it. I mean, I tell everybody, you know, anybody that works for us and that I train, you have to have thousands of these briskets behind you.
For sure.
It's the, you know, the road you travel, you know what I mean? You see a lot.
What do you guys think about people when they say they want to open a barbecue restaurant?
That's so funny. I was thinking about that. We talk about that all the time and it kind of depends, but I get a lot of people who are retiring and they're like, well, we want to open a restaurant and, you know, we're going to use all our savings. And I'm like, don't. Like, take that money and go to Hawaii. Like, don't. I mean.
And travel around and eat good barbecue.
Well, it's definitely like, you got to, if you're retiring, you want to, I ask them, do you want to work, you know, 18 to 20 hours a day? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, that's what you're going to do at the beginning because you've got to get customers and you can't pay employees.
For sure.
So, you know, that's what you need to prepare yourself for. If you want to open a restaurant, open something like, I don't know, Freebirds, where you just, you know, make a salad or taco bar. Not saying that that's not hard, but you can hire people and it's, you don't necessarily have to be there 24/7.
And create a process. Yeah, I think that makes it a lot easier.
It's yours. I mean, you have to be there. You're the pit master. It's not just that easy to turn around and train somebody.
And that's also too why when people open multiple locations, it makes it harder for them to keep stay consistent.
It does. I mean, it gets diluted. The more you try to do, it gets watered down. It's unavoidable. It really is.
Did you guys travel around at all, and like to Austin, Lockhart, Elgin, to study at all, or was it just kind of you eat barbecue as just in general? That was something.
Yeah, I mean, we fly by the seat of our pants. So honestly, we didn't do a whole lot of market research before we opened. We just
We just
put both feet in, yeah, and went for it. Since then, we've met a lot of fantastic people, traveled around, ate at a lot of excellent restaurants, and what a great community it is.
Yeah, what does that barbecue community mean to you guys?
It means a lot.
I mean, it's definitely a family, and it's also, it gives you people who can relate to you. You know, there's not a lot of people that you meet that truly understand the amount of work that you put in, why you say no every time they call you to go do something, or you know, why those invitations always get set to the side. And everybody in this community pretty much gets that. So, and very relatable, easy to talk to folks.
Yeah. I mean, you have kids, you get one day off. I mean, today, yes, we're closed, but, you know, he's got to go and do a whole bunch of stuff at the restaurant. I got to go do everything I can for, you know, our kids today, as far as like they need food. So I have to go to the grocery store, mm-hmm, and, you know, they need this for school and that for school. And then, you know, my daughter's football game's at 4, and it's like, you know.
How do you guys juggle the rest of the week? Because do you have family and relatives? How do you guys juggle that with the kids?
No, I mean, it's just really up to her and I. You know, one of us is we'll stay at the restaurant, and the other one is we'll leave, you know, after the lunch rush and go, you know, wrangle kids and drive them around and do whatever needs to get done.
And I can pick up the kids from school, come home, and finish working, because I do, at the end of the day, I can do a lot of paperwork and, you know, emails and whatever else I need to do, t-shirt orders or whatever. I can do all that from home. So I typically will come home from work and work.
Yeah, and email back and forth with a crazy blogger from California
that wants
to set up an interview with you guys. So thank you very much for that. And I guess after a while you just get the flow and you figure it out. But it definitely, it's not something to take lightly. And I think that people who just think that they could become, you know, open up a barbecue restaurant, it's a job. It's a real thing. It's, and opening a restaurant in general is tough.
It is tough.
You know, but I mean, we've gotten so much from what we do. So I don't want to dog on barbecue or how hard it is. And we definitely don't, that's not a hang up for us. And I think any job that you have or that you do, you should put everything you have into it anyway. So
absolutely.
I agree completely.
You're taking your career serious. You're busy. That's just how it is. Yeah. No matter what you do.
I think that's everybody. I mean, it's your job. I mean, everybody's busy at their job, whether it's a restaurant or you work in oil and gas or, you know.
If you have the passion, if for anybody that does want to open a barbecue restaurant, just know the work involved. But, I mean, I would hate to tell somebody, no, you shouldn't do it, because it really has given us so much.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look what it's done. That's fantastic. When Texas Monthly came out, did your lines explode overnight just for a short time?
They were different.
Yeah, you definitely, like, you know, we have a whole lot of regular folks that are in there once, twice, three times a week. It definitely brought new faces to the restaurant. We're busy really all the time, but we definitely started seeing different faces come in there.
Yeah.
Anytime that list comes out, you're going to see a spike, and it'll last longer. You know.
Yeah, for sure. And especially as time goes on, and strangely, barbecue continues to get more popular. I thought it was at its peak, and it seemed extremely popular, but more and more people just seem to be into it.
I think we're all waiting for it to peak. You know, it hadn't got there yet, but for the last couple of years, you know, it's like, when is this thing gonna plane out? But it's still, I mean, every day, new places are opening, and they're getting praise and doing a good job at it. So, I mean, it's continuously climbing. It's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. And how do you feel about Houston becoming a bigger barbecue scene? That's a cool thing, too.
I mean, I think it's fantastic. We oftentimes in the early days, Houston was overlooked. It's unavoidable. I mean, if you're gonna eat good barbecue, you're going to have to make a trip to Houston. I mean, that's just how it is now. So it's a fantastic feeling to be a part of that as well. It's like a movement.
Yeah, for my next trip to Texas, I'm starting in Houston, and then I'm going north.
Awesome. Yeah.
Is there a charity or a couple charities that you could recommend for the Houston because of Hurricane Harvey?
We did. I know we did the J.J. Watt. We donated to his organization, and then we did several small ones. We did some church donations. We found some smaller places that really needed help with, you know, their congregation and schools and stuff like that. So I don't know of any like specific big gotcha. Ones.
Okay.
Oh, the J.J. Watt one was really good, and he's going to be distributing that out, not just through like the food bank and stuff.
Okay, cool. I'll put a link to that as well. I haven't put a link to that yet, so I think that would be it's a great organization. What he's putting together it's pretty amazing. It's phenomenal.
Yes, I mean the attention that he's got from that is unbelievable.
He does so much for Houston that it's we really felt obligated to. That's the one we wanted to donate to.
Gotcha. Is there that's one that I'll donate to it, and I also will put a link for sure.
Awesome.
Is there anything else that that people should know about your restaurant or about you guys? Or I know was barbecue part of your life like back as kids? Did your parents
have barbecue? We grew up in Texas, so
you had no choice.
Pretty just normal.
I worked at a barbecue restaurant from 16 to 20 or 21. I worked at a real small family owned barbecue joint. They're like still like family to me to this day. And so I got a lot of I didn't learn a whole lot about barbecue, I don't think, but I learned a whole lot from working at that restaurant.
That's actually where we started dating, was when he worked there. So it's pretty we laugh about, and it's only like 2 minutes. It was in Old Town Spring too.
It doesn't exist anymore, or does it exist?
No, it does not exist anymore.
What is it? Is it an AT&T store?
It's a Presbyterian church now.
Okay, well,
the walls could talk.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome. I didn't know you had worked at a barbecue place before.
I did.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you guys very much. I do appreciate it, and I'll definitely be coming out there, and I'll spread the word. And if there's anything else that you wanted to let, I know you guys have amazing desserts. Is that something that Nicole? Do you make those desserts, or do you, Will?
I do make them. I do have help. I mean,
well,
but all the sides and everything in the kitchen are recipes that I've made. So, but yeah, we make everything every day from scratch. So, nothing frozen. We don't even own freezers. So
that's cool. That's really cool. Well, thank you guys. Have a great week. And, good luck. Good luck tomorrow. It starts over again, right?
Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Steph.
All right, thank you guys. Take care.
Appreciate it.